Tonight, we're going to talk about love. Since today is Valentine's Day and folks are thinking about it, love is in the air. Okay, that's all I know of that song. But since we're talking about that, I think it's a good thing for us to take a look at what the book of Proverbs has to say about love. And it's got some good instruction for us. The word love is used over 20 times in the book of Proverbs in different translations or in different ways. And we're not going to look at all of them, but we do want to look at a few of them and see what it has to say. We're going to pick up just a few and see what wisdom we can pick up from the book of Proverbs. So let's pray before we start, and then we'll begin looking at Proverbs on love. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what you're speaking to our hearts. Already in the worship time, we've enjoyed your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us as we continue to worship you and reading your word and studying what you have for us. Teach us tonight how to live wisely, and how to love wisely. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's begin by talking about what Proverbs has to say about love. Specifically, the first area we're going to talk about is what Proverbs has to say about the things that that you can love things wrongly. The book of Proverbs tells us that we can love a lot of things. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is how it says we can love the wrong things. The word love in Hebrew is aheb. A-W-H-E-B is how we would write it in English. And it speaks of having an affection for something. It's used 217 times in the entire Old Testament, the Hebrew word is. And it's used for lots of, most of the times, I think all but 11 times, it's translated love, dearly loved, beloved, something like that. The 11 times it's not translated some variation of love, it's speaking about a dear friendship. So you can see it's a word that just speaks of a strong affection, dearly loving, showing your love. And so the point is that in the Old Testament, the word love is neither positive nor negative in itself. It's not a positive word. It's not a negative word. It can be used to show strong affection for something that's right. It can be used to show strong affection for something that's wrong. So let's look at a couple of examples of things that you can love, how you can love the wrong things. The first one is found in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 13. And we have an instruction given to us that some of our teenagers especially need to hear in the summertime. Have you already seen it? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13 says, "Do not love sleep, or you will become poor. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with food." Now, have you ever had to wake up a teenager on a weekend? It can be a tough project. This is not just speaking of teenagers. It's speaking of a person who would put his own personal comfort above anything else. This is loving the wrong thing. You can love sleep to the point that you sleep so much that nothing ever gets accomplished in your life. And this one goes on to say that if you love sleep, it's going to rob you. It's going to steal from you. If you love self-comfort that much that you'll put your own comfort above your own well-being, you're going to end up being robbed of the blessings of God in your life. So that's one thing you can love that you shouldn't. Another one is in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17. And very along the same lines, it says, "He who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich." So here again, you have how some people can love things that won't love them back. They'll love things that won't help them. They'll love things that won't bring value to their life. And we're given instruction, if you want to live wisely, don't live for comfort. Don't live for pleasure. Now, some people will fall into things and say, "Well, but it feels right." Well, feelings have got nothing to do with wisdom. We're talking about wise living. So you want to live wisely. You're not going to go by just pleasure or by living feelings, I should say. You're going to go by what is wise. And so he talks about these things. And there's one more that's interesting to me. It's in Proverbs chapter 14. And this is just a proverbial statement. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 20. It says, "The poor is hated by his neighbor, but those who love the rich are many." Is that true? You know, a rich man's got lots of friends. You find somebody who's won the lottery, and you know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you, that they have received constant, nonstop telephone calls, emails, and letters from people wanting to be their best friend, or wanting a handout, wanting some way to assist in their program or in their issue or their plight. And so it's just a truth. Somebody who has lots of money is going to have lots of friends. But the problem is that guy's never going to know if they're really friends for the right reasons. We can love riches and we can love wealth, but that's loving the wrong thing. Now, if the scripture and if Proverbs teaches us that you can love the wrong thing, it also teaches us you can love the right things. And so let's take a couple of minutes and look at some of the right things that the scripture tells us we can love. And the New Testament says it's important that we set our affections on the right things, on the things above. So look with me at chapter 22. And this is one of the wisdom issues, one of the things that will help us live wisely. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 11 says, "He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend." Now, I did this one on purpose because I want you to see the similarity or the contrast between the one we just talked about. The one we just talked about says that a rich man has lots of friends. He just doesn't know which ones he can trust. But the one who has, according to this, the one who loves purity of heart, the king wants to be his friend. You see, when our love is not so much for tangible things, when our love is not so much for pleasure, but when our love is for something like purity, when we have a fascination and a desire and an affection of our heart to do things the right way, then God will bring the friends into our lives. God will bring the ones into our lives that can value that. One of the things that I'm learning in reading Proverbs over and over and over and over again is you are like the people you hang out with. And I wish every one of our teenagers could hang on to this truth. You are like the people you hang out with, whether you want to admit it or not. You're going to be, he who walks with the wise will himself be wise, is what the scripture says. He who walks with fools will be proved to be a fool. Now, we want to think that that doesn't necessarily reflect in our lives, but it does. And this is a truth that the one who loves purity of heart will find the ones attracted to him royalty, will find friendships coming to him who value him because he has true values, who value him because he has integrity and because he has honesty. So this is a truth that we need to love the right things. And there's another one in chapter 29, not just purity of heart, but in chapter 29, this one comes down to kind of the heart of the whole book. Chapter 29, verse number 3, says, "A man who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but he who keeps company with harlots wastes his wealth." You see, a man who loves wisdom makes his father glad. Daddies never want to look at their kids and think, be careful how I say this. Daddies never want to look at their kids and think, what an idiot. I wasn't very careful how I said that. Mommies and daddies want to brag about their kids. They want to. But they want to have reason to brag about their kids. And the scripture is telling us that we can love something that will make our mommies and daddies proud. And that is wisdom. If we love wisdom, if we have an affection for wisdom, if we seek after wisdom, and this goes along with the whole book, I actually found several verses that deal with this. Let me just throw a couple of them at you. Proverbs 4:6 says, "Do not forsake wisdom. She will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you." Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs is calling on us to love wisdom, and we'll find that if we love wisdom, she will be a guard over our lives. Why? Because we'll make good choices. We won't put ourselves in places where bad things will happen. We will put ourselves in good scenarios if we have true wisdom, if we love wisdom. Another one is in chapter number 8 of Proverbs, and there's so many, but I've just picked out this one. Verse number 1 starts out by saying, "Does not wisdom call?" Proverbs 8:1. "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding lift up her voice?" And if you drop all the way down to verse 17, wisdom says, "I love those who love me. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me." And so we're called to love good things like wisdom, like purity. We're called to not love the wrong things that are going to put us in the places that we don't want to be. Now let me bring you to this third area and talk about four proverbial truths about love. These are four truths. These could have been my four main points of the sermon, but I'm going to use these as our closing thoughts, but it's going to take as much time as we've had so far. So stick around for a minute. But these are four truths that if you grasp these will help you. They're going to help you in your relationships. They're going to help you in your marriage. They're going to help you in lots of ways. And the first one is this. Love tells the truth. Love tells the truth. I want you to look with me at Proverbs chapter 27. In verse number 5, Proverbs chapter 27, in verse number 5 says, "Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed." And the point that I hear being made here is that love will tell you the truth when you need to hear it. Love will tell you when you're setting yourself up for a fall. Someone who loves you, you'll tell them. When they're on thin ice, you're going to tell them they're on thin ice. When they've got a booger hanging out of their nose or on their tie, love's going to care for them enough to say, "I'll be your booger friend. I will help you be aware of something that would be embarrassing to you." Love will give the statement truthfully and honestly when it needs to be said. Now, it's interesting that in the book of Proverbs, I found at least four different places where love and rebukes are joined together. Either rebukes or discipline or reproof. Let me just read them to you. You don't have to go to each one of these, but let me read these. Listen to this. This is chapter 3, verse 12. "For whom the Lord loves, he reproves." You hear that? "Whom the Lord loves, he reproves. Even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." And so we have a statement here where love is connected to bringing a correction. The second one is chapter 9, verse 8. "Do not reprove a scoffer, and he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you." You know how you can tell if a person is a wise man or a fool? Is when correction comes into their life, if they appreciate it or they hate it. If someone cannot stand to be corrected, if someone can never stand for anybody to tell them anything wrong, that person is a fool. It's a scoffer. But a person a wise person, when someone brings correction into their life, will love that person even more because they know you loved me enough to tell me the truth. Love tells the truth. Another one is Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Can you put that verse up, Faith, so they can see this? Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. And look at the last part of that. This is going to use a word that we don't use in my house. I don't know if y'all use this word in your house. But he who hates reproof is... Because we don't use that word in my house. Do you use that word in your house? That's not a word. That's like a cuss word in our house. It's a four-letter word plus two, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, four-letter word plus two. You don't call your sister beep, right, Hope? She's nodding her head. You better not. See, Jesus said in the New Testament, one who says to his brother beep is going to be guilty of the hellfires. If you call your brother empty-headed, fool, speak. I don't know why that tone changed pitches there. Beep. So beep. But look at the truth. The person who hates reproof is beep. Now this goes into what I just said to you a minute ago. You can tell if a person's a fool or if they're wise by how they handle correction. That's all right, sis. One more. Is in chapter 13, verse number 24. "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him beats the fire out of him." Has your daddy ever quoted that to you, Vaughn? Yeah. Sort of, kind of. I'm doing this because I love you. Bow! I'm doing this because I love you. Bow! Well, maybe not. But the truth of it is that correction, true correction, comes from a heart of love. And so we have this in parent-child relationships. We have this in friend relationships. We have this in marriage relationships. True love will tell the truth, and true love will accept the truth. Now, that leads me to my second point. First point is that love tells the truth. My second proverbial truth is this. Love knows how to say things. Just because you tell the truth, don't mean you got to slap them upside the head with it like a cold fish upside the head. Okay? Just because you tell them the truth, don't mean you got to use a sledgehammer. Let's look at a verse about this. In Proverbs chapter 16, love knows how to say things just right. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 13, says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. You see, there's a right way to say things, and then there's a stupid way to say things. I almost said that word. There's a right way to say things, and there's a wrong way to say things. There's a right way to speak truth, and there is a hurtful way to speak truth. So just because love speaks truth doesn't mean that love speaks irresponsibly. You see what I'm saying? Just because love speaks truth doesn't mean love speaks hurtfully. There's a right way to speak. In fact, there's another proverb that doesn't use the word love, but it says this in chapter 15, verse 2. It says, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. You ought to write that one down. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. That means that a person who's trained in wisdom, which is the goal of the book of Proverbs, knows how to say a thing without destroying the person. They used to joke, a preacher would come through here every now and then, used to say that he liked to tell jokes because he'd get us laughing and smiling so that when he punched us in the mouth, it wouldn't bust our lip. So our lip wouldn't bleed. Yeah, just a humorous way of saying that, you know, we need to know how to, Paul says in the New Testament, we need to know how to season our words, as it were, with grace. You know, you go get something to eat, you want it to taste a little bit better, so you put just a little bit of salt. Don't put too much, but you need to put just a little bit. Well, that's what Paul's saying, is that we need to know how to use our words just right. I believe this is what Proverbs is saying, that one who knows how to speak just right, love knows how to speak just right. Now, there are some questions that don't have good answers to them. Love shouldn't ask those kind of questions. You know what kind of questions I'm talking about? Does this dress make me look... Don't, please don't ask that question. Okay, I'm just kidding. Well, I don't know. But listen, this is important. Guys, we could take some of these truths and we can run with them and we could create problems. Yes, love speaks the truth, but love knows how to say things just right. Love knows when to say things. Love knows how to speak things in an acceptable way. Love knows how to bring in a correction or a proof in a way that doesn't destroy the person or break the spirit. So this number two, just because you tell the truth doesn't mean you get to verbally punish people. You know, some people want to be God's truth bearer. Wait a minute. Think about this. Think about the example of Jesus in the book of John, chapter 4. He's on a journey, and they go through an area where he stays by himself while the disciples go in to get some food in this little town. And while he's there, a woman comes to draw water out of the well. And she comes in the middle of the day, not in the mornings or the evenings when most women would come, but she comes in the middle of the day probably because she's not wanting to be seen. She doesn't really like to be around people. She's got somewhat of a reputation. In fact, Jesus kind of pinpoints it when he says to her, bring your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. He says, yeah, you're right. You've had five husbands. And the man you're living with now, you're not married to. Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus doesn't call her names. He doesn't slap her around verbally. He acknowledges with truthfulness the situation and the condition, but he says it with no condemnation because love knows how to say things. You know what? If we can learn how to say things, you can say truth and go take your relationships very, very far if you'll learn to speak right. So that's number two in these proverbial truths about love. Number one, love tells the truth. Number two, love knows how to say things just right. Number three is love forgives. And look at chapter number 10. I want you to see two different verses about this. But in chapter number 10, verse number 12, it says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. A similar thought is brought out in chapter number 17, verse number 9. I want you to see this one as well. Chapter 17, verse 9 says, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. The point of this is, love doesn't cover its own sins, because the Scripture tells us, you know, that the one who covers his own sins will not prosper. We know that truth. But true love, because God is love, and because God forgave sins, true love forgives sins. True love is able to cover the transgression, the pain of someone else's mistake, and not constantly throw it in their face, or not constantly talk about it to other people. True love not just waits, true love forgives. True love imitates the love of God and the grace of God. It spreads a mantle over its fellow fallen creatures and forgives them. Peter quoted from chapter 10, verse 12, the verse we just read, when he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8, urging Christians, he says, above all. Now, I need, before I tell you any more of that verse, you need to think about this. Peter was a preeminent apostle. There were 12 apostles, right? Okay, 12 apostles. New Testament Bible survey is coming up in the fall. If you didn't know there were 12 apostles, you need to take that class. There were a certain number of them who were kind of the inner circle. Does anybody know how many there were in the inner circle? Nellie Grace got it. Three. Do you know who they were? Who's the first one? Peter, James, and John. Every time they're mentioned, they're listed as Peter, James, and John. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says to his disciples, who do people say that I am? They say, well, you know, some say you're this prophet, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah. And Jesus says, well, who do you guys say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Peter, calls him Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah there, but it's talking to Peter, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven revealed this to you. This is a man who had revelation. This is the man to whom was given keys of the kingdom. This is the man who in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost opened up the gospel to the nations. All those who had come to worship. This is a man who went to Cornelius' house and brought the gospel to the Gentiles. And this man who was the preeminent of the apostles says above all. Now if he says above all, it must be important. Right? Right? I'm checking, making sure you're awake. Above all. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all, he says, keep fervent in your love for one another. And then he reaches back to Proverbs 10, verse 12. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Wisdom, the wisdom book tells us, love forgives. So we have three things so far. We have that love tells the truth. We have love knows how to say things just right. We have love forgives, and I've saved the best one for last. For all you lovers, this is for you. Chapter 15, verse 17. Are you ready? All right, let's do them A, B, C. You ready, Faith? A, love tells the truth. B, love knows how to say things just right. C, love forgives. Now, D, wait. Maybe I'll just end it right here. No, listen to this. I love this one. D, love makes everything taste better. Now I know you're thinking, Nathan, what on earth are you thinking of? Did you fall out of your chair when you were preparing this message? Chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse number 17, says, better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. You see, love will make a plate of vegetables taste like a seven-course meal. Oh, baby, all those times I complained about not having meat in my supper, I'm sorry, because you was loving me and I should have known better. Now, what you need to see for a second is that the ox was a special animal that was, it was because of its power. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4 says, where there is no ox in the stable is clean, but much income comes from the strength of the ox. An ox was a special animal. One of my favorite verses. An ox was a special animal because it could produce by its strength. They didn't eat it very often. It was only saved for special occasions. In fact, a very wealthy man might have what was called an ox of the stall. It would be a special ox who wasn't really used to work, and it was kept in the stall and it was fattened up so that when a special feast might be held, they would use this ox. But only a wealthy, wealthy man could afford to keep an ox out of the fields. In the New Testament, there's a couple of parables where Jesus talks about a great celebration. And the father or the king said, bring out the fatted ox of the stalls. But only for a special celebration. The king did this for the wedding of his son. That's how special it was. And the scripture is telling us that this meal of vegetables, which is also referred to as a traveler's meal, a simple meal, a meal that you didn't have time to prepare. All you really had time to do was pick up a few herbs, a few spices, throw it in a pot, maybe get it to boil, will taste wonderful when it's served with love. You know, love does some wonderful things to us. It'll make guys go crazy. Make us curl our toes when we see you beautiful women. It'll make us do wonderful things. It is powerful. John knows what love will do. It'll make you bow down on your knee, hold up a ring, and ask somebody to spend the rest of their life with you. Love will change your life, and it makes everything taste better. So, those are four proverbial truths from the book of Proverbs about love. Listen, though, remember this. You can love the wrong things, but we're warned not to. You can love the right things. We're encouraged to do so. Remember to tell the truth, but say it just right. Remember to forgive and enjoy the full course meal that God has given you with the love of your life. Now, let me give you one last verse. In the book of Proverbs chapter 15, that we're in this chapter, the book of Proverbs also tells us who God loves. It's a complete book. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 9 says, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but He loves one who pursues righteousness. Who does God love? He says He loves the one who pursues righteousness. In the New Testament, it tells us that Jesus Christ has become to us our righteousness. And so I would say to you that God loves the one who pursues Jesus. That's who God loves. Proverbs has an answer. So love the right things. Don't love the wrong things. Don't fall in love with sleeping late, selfish pleasures. Fall in love with truth and honesty and integrity and wisdom. Speak the truth. Say it just right. Forgive. And everything will taste better. Father, thank you for teaching us tonight from your word. As we celebrate this day, friendships and romance and the love that you brought into our lives, we thank you that you have indeed given us these precious gifts. We ask in the name of Jesus that we would celebrate the love that you've given us, the love for you and the love that you've given us for our brothers and sisters, and especially the love that you've given us for the one that you brought into our lives to complete us. Lord, may our hearts be healed of the hurts that we've carried from the past. May we know how to forgive. And Lord, also help us to be able to speak and receive the truth in love. Thank you for the love that is found only in you that completes our life. You do complete us. We were made complete in you, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.